Enjoyed that. Those are good songs. Good songs. I'm glad I didn't run everybody off this morning. A few of you made your way back. You know, I just like to see something a little unusual happen here tonight. I get tired of the status quo, just everything. Same old, same old. You know, I do. I've been in churches where preachers have announced, well, we're going to have services as usual this evening. They know sense in that. We don't serve a usual God. We've got an unusual God that can do a lot of unusual things. But I'd just like to see something a little unusual tonight. I really would. I'd like to see something like some walls to fall down.
Yeah.
Like they did back over there in Joshua. You know, a lot of people got a lot of walls in their life. Just things build up and what have you. This is a good place for walls to fall down. It really is. I'd like to see a little cloud showing the end of the drought. Like in Elijah's day, old Elijah got ready to gird himself up and run all the way back. From what I read, it was about 15, 16 miles. He ran all the way back saying, I see the end of the drought. We're going to get some rain.
Yeah.
Lot of dry Christians.
Yeah,
we need to see a little cloud fill up the place tonight. I'd like to see a little fire fall from heaven.
Yes, sir.
You know, just again, like Elijah did when he went up on the mountaintop. And, you know, we need just a little bit of fire from the Lord. And it'd be great to see some of the blind given sight.
Yeah.
Some of the lame learn how to walk.
Yes.
You know, it just really would. It'd be even greater tonight to see some chains fall off.
Yes.
You know, I one of my favorite things in saying and preaching is that the nail-scarred hands of my Savior can break the strongest chain that was ever forged in the fires of hell.
Yes.
No matter what you're in bondage to, alcohol, drugs, sin, pornography, whatever it may be, my God can set you free. I'd like to see some chains fall off tonight. I really would. I'd like to see the glory cloud fill this place. Like when they dedicated the tabernacle and the priest couldn't even preach for the glory cloud. The presence of God was so real. And you know, I don't determine the presence of God in this place. You do. We do. I do, you do, we do, we all do. However we want to act and all of that. But I just really want to try to help you a little bit tonight. I really do. I want you to ask yourself some questions, and I want you to answer some questions tonight, at least to yourself, and think about the things that God's laid on my heart to share with you this evening. Let's pray. God, I just simply come to you this evening as humble as I know how. And God, I just ask you just get me out of the way. And God, you do that only the work that you can do, God, the work that only you can do. That God, you would speak to people's hearts. God, you would change lives. And Lord, truly that we could leave this place tonight a different person in Christ Jesus, whose name I pray. And amen.
Amen. Amen.
Was sitting around this afternoon and thinking about different scriptures, and I got to thinking about Solomon. And I want to share a verse of scripture with you from 1 Kings, a couple, three or four verses of scripture, actually. In 1 Kings chapter 3, then we're going to go over the New Testament and look at a couple of things there, but God asked a pretty important question back here. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now I want you to think about that just for a moment, okay? We've all read the stories about finding a lamp on the beach and polishing it up, and the genie comes out and offers you three wishes. We know that's just a fairy tale. But God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he asked Solomon, he said, ask whatever you want. Just ask me for what you want. Just God gave him a blank check.
Yeah.
And God's got a blank check for you tonight.
That's good.
Ask what you want. You know, if we're going to have revival, and we're not going to have revival just because you set aside these 5 or 6 nights.
Right.
We're not going to have revival just because you called somebody to come and preach.
Right.
We're only going to have revival if you determine what it is in your heart that needs to be changed, that needs to be made right.
Amen.
What it is that is acting as a wall between you and God. In a lot of Christians' lives, there's an eclipse that's happened.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, an eclipse, just like we see an eclipse of the sun, and what happens in an eclipse of the sun is the moon comes between us and the sun, and it seems like the sun disappears. But in a lot of Christians' lives, they've let something come between them and the sun.
Right.
The S-O-N. Something that has caused the presence of God to dim and diminish, and some of the eclipse we've seen, it's gotten nearly dark. And there are a lot of Christians who are living in a darkened world because their relationship with God is not what it ought to be. But God in this dream told Solomon, he said, just ask what I shall give thee. Now let's drop down to verse 9. It says in verse 9, and this is Solomon's reply, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Solomon, he didn't ask for frivolous stuff like we do. You know, when I talk about, you know, people asking God for something, they ask to win the lottery. They ask for money to pay their electric bill. They ask for this. They ask for help with their ingrown toenail or whatever it may be. But we need to realize that we're here to ask serious things of God tonight.
Amen.
You know, I have a hope of heaven. Now, I probably told you this before, but my hope of heaven doesn't mean that it might happen.
Right.
Bible hope is simply truth that has not yet come to pass.
Right.
I have a hope of heaven. It's a truth that I'm going, but it has just not yet come to pass. It's going to happen.
Right. Amen.
You can hope to win the lottery, but I got news for you tonight. You got a dollar, if you give it to God, I guarantee the returns on that.
Yeah.
I guarantee the returns on that. But Solomon prayed and he said, Lord, I want to know the difference between... You know, wouldn't it be good if we knew the difference between good and evil? I mean, if every time we started to do something, if the Holy Spirit of God would just convict us and say, oh, that's not what you want to do. But you know, God's Spirit works continually in our hearts. But sometimes we just don't listen to Him. Sometimes we turn a deaf ear. Sometimes we've got a wall built up so high. Sometimes our chains are so tight and so heavy that we just don't hear what God is trying to tell us.
Yeah.
But let's read on because of what Solomon asked. It says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hath asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Whoa!
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good God, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I ask a lot of things of my God, and sometimes He gives me a whole lot more than what I ask for.
Yeah.
I and again, you know, I can't remember what stories I've told, what illustrations I've used in different places that I've preached, but I'm going to tell you this again, all right? If I've told it to you before, we first well we drilled in Haiti, we didn't know we were going to hit any water or not. And it was a well in a 4-inch piece of PVC. That's as big around as it was. And we took the pump down to some pipe. Long story short, set up a generator. Was going to pump until we run out of water and then wait to see how long it took to come back to where we started, called the recovery rate. And so we did. I took a pump down. We rolled up a roll of plastic pipe and stuffed it in a duffel bag and took it down. Got a generator and started pumping water. Had a 5-gallon bucket, and we timed how long it was going to take to fill a 5-gallon bucket. And after we had pumped 900 and some odd gallons, almost 1,000 gallons, and you know, it was almost an hour later, I thought, well, man, we ain't getting nowhere. And so I had everything ready. I had measured down, and it was 26 feet down to the water when we started. And as soon as we shut the pump off, I dropped my string and my float back down the well. And after an hour's pumping and after almost 1,000 gallons of water, the water level in that 4-inch pipe had dropped 1 foot. Now that's my God. That's my God. But what I want to tell you about is, I came home from that. I was interim pastor over at Grantsfield, Victory Baptist Church, for a year. I came home that Sunday and I preached a sermon and I titled it, I Asked for a Drink and God Gave Me a River. Yeah. And we had prayed for water on that farm. We wanted it to irrigate to be able to raise crops to feed people and all of that. But I got to thinking about when I got saved, Brother Mark. Yeah. Brother Boyd, when I got saved, I just wanted saved.
Yeah.
You know, right. I just asked for a drink.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted was a drink. But God gave me a river.
Yeah.
A river of life. I mean, He gave me peace. He gave me comfort. He gave me hope. He gave me encouragement. He gave me so much more than what I had asked Him for. And I'm glad that's the kind of God that we serve. That He can take our feeble things that we ask for and He can do abundantly above and beyond what we can ask or think.
Yeah.
Ask or think. But God told Solomon, He said, I'm going to give thee that which thou hast not asked for, both riches and honor. There shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Now friends, my whole point in reading all of that this morning, or this evening, is to simply to get you to ask yourself a question. God asked you tonight, what would you have God do for you? Now I want you to take your little piece of paper, even if you don't have one, and I want you to just write down, if we're going to have revival, I want you to write down what it is that you need God to do in your life this week. Just take a minute. We're so afraid of silence in the church today.
Yeah.
Just take a minute and just think about what it is that you'd like to ask God to do in your life. I'm going to give you a minute. I'm not going to time it. I'm not going to play the music from whatever that game show is on TV. Da 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 da. I can't sing, but that don't mean God doesn't give me a song.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Have you thought of anything?
Yes, sir.
Have you had time? Have I given you time to think of just one thing? One thing that you'd like God to do in your life, not your neighbor, not your uncle, your aunt, your mom and dad, but whatever, but just one thing that you'd like God to do in your life. And now I want to ask you a question. Do you believe God can do it?
Yes.
If we believe God can do it, then why won't we let Him? In the New Testament, over in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Just one verse. Mark chapter 10, verse 51. I'm going to give you just a little bit of background. I mentioned Bartimaeus this morning. That's one of the things that kept popping back into my mind this afternoon. I was trying to prepare to preach tonight. But old blind Bartimaeus was there, and he was by the wayside and begging. And, of course, you know, he was blind. He was dependent on everybody else for whatever he needed in life. And he heard the crowd coming that day. He could hear the feet shuffling, and he could hear the excited chatter of people talking because Jesus was there. And he had been doing wonderful, marvelous things. I'm telling you, here tonight, he's still doing wonderful and marvelous things. He really is. And blind Bartimaeus heard him coming. And you all know the story, but I learned a long time ago, don't assume that the people you're preaching to know the story you're talking about. Right. And so, blind Bartimaeus, they told him, they said, Jesus is passing by. And old Bartimaeus said, I'm not going to miss my chance. Now, I'm ad-libbing here, okay? I'm not quoting Scripture, okay?
Right.
Bartimaeus said, I'm not going to miss my chance. I've never been this close to the Lord before.
Right.
I've never been this close, never had this opportunity before in my life. And I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. And so he began to cry out and cry out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And boy, the crowd didn't like it. Even the disciples were there, and they didn't like it. They tried to hush him up, you know. And a lot of times people try to give a testimony in church, and they're afraid to give it because they're afraid somebody's going to say something about the testimony they've got or whatever. And you know, and we all know that that kind of stuff is no good in the house of the Lord. It's no good in how we ought to treat each other and how we ought to act toward one another. But anyhow, blind Bartimaeus continued to cry out. He wouldn't shut up until finally Jesus stopped. Now, I want you to take note of something in this passage of Scripture that I only noticed this afternoon when I was reading it. Jesus didn't go to him.
Right.
Jesus didn't go. Jerry sang that song this morning about when I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Jesus didn't go to Bartimaeus. But Jesus called him and he told him, he said, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. That's in verse 49. And then in verse 50, the Bible says, and Jesus answering and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? You see, that's what God's laid on my heart for this evening. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? That's why I ask you to at least symbolically write down what it is that you would like God to do in your life. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And again, I just want to remind you, that's a blank check from God. You want to live closer to Him? You want to read more? You want to pray more? Talking about testimonies and what have you, I've heard people stand up and testify and say, will you pray for me that I'll be a better Christian? Well, if you want to be a better Christian, be a better Christian.
Yes, amen.
I mean, it's your choice. It's up to you. You can do it.
Yes.
Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You got somebody helping you. You got somebody said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. If you want to be a better Christian, then be a better Christian and quit making excuses. Stop making excuses, you know. Just think about it. If you want to be the very safest place to be in all the world is to be in the subjective will of God. Being right where God wants you to be. Right where God would have you to be. Being the kind of Christian that God wants you to be. When we look at these things and you know, think about what was going on here, some words of an old song came into my mind this afternoon. I don't remember who sung it, but it said, there are none so blind as those who will not see. There are none so blind as the... You know what? Look at the crowd that was around Jesus that day. Bartimaeus was the only one who really saw Him.
That's good.
Bartimaeus is the only one who really saw Him, and he was blind. But he knew who Jesus was. He had heard the story. You've heard the stories. Your pastor preaches to you faithfully Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, over and over again, just who Jesus is and what He can do in your life. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Jesus asked you that question tonight. You know, the spiritual blindness that surrounds us. And in Matthew tells this story, and Matthew says there was two blind men. But Mark and John only talk about Bartimaeus. It tends to make me believe that this other blind man wasn't concerned. That he didn't have the desire in his heart that Bartimaeus had. And Bartimaeus, you know, he didn't beat around the bush when Jesus asked him, "What will thou that I should do unto thee?" He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." He knew what he needed.
Right.
He needed to be able to see. He needed to be able to understand what was going on. And think about it. When you ask what Jesus can do for you, what can the Lord do for you tonight? He can turn your life around. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, Jesus can completely turn your life around. He can take your mess and He can make something wonderful out of it. Something beautiful. You know, isn't there an old song? And I'm not going to try to sing it. Y'all get tired of me croaking up here. But, how's it go? All my confusion you understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But He made something beautiful out of my life. All that we've got to offer Him is brokenness and strife. If you're here and you don't know Him tonight, He can make something beautiful out of your life. He really can. He can turn your life around from the inside out. What's on the inside is going to eventually show up on the outside. Amen. At least it ought to. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. If you've got the love of God inside you, one of these days it ought to start leaking out a little bit. You know, and you ought to start loving your neighbor like you love yourself. Is there anything you need tonight? God asked old Bartimaeus, He said, what wilt thou that I should do to thee? God knew what He wanted. God knows everything. But He wanted Bartimaeus to specify. And that's why I asked you to write it down symbolically. I want you to specify what you want God to do for you. Reminds me of a story I read once about a man was working in the fire department, and a woman called and said, "The house is on fire. Send a fire truck." And she hung the phone up. A few minutes went by. The phone rang again, and he answered the phone, and it was the same woman, and she said, "Send a fire truck now," and hung the phone up. Well, a fireman, he didn't know where to send a fire truck to. So he thought, "Well, I'm going to be ready the next time she calls." And so he was waiting for the phone ring, and sure enough, another minute or two went by, and the phone rang a third time. And when he answered it, he said, "Ma'am, where's the fire?" And she said, "In the kitchen," and hung the phone up. Be specific.
Yeah.
Be specific. Pray specifically. Boy, we can pray in generalities. Lord, save the world, save all the lost, and this, that, and the other. But, you know, I believe in specific prayer. I used to pastor an elderly lady that she was a seamstress, and she'd sew, and sometimes she'd drop her needle in the carpet. And she said, it was never a problem. She said, "I just asked the Lord to help me find it." And she said, "Next thing I know, I just looked down, and there it was. Just be right there." She prayed specifically.
Yeah.
If you pray specifically tonight, if you'll just tell God what you need in your life, I believe God can answer your prayer.
Yeah.
He not only can, but I believe He will.
Yeah.
You see, He's sufficient. He's able to do great and wondrous things. If we would just identify exactly what it is that we need. Maybe you just need more faith. Maybe you just simply need more faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't that what the Bible says? You need more faith. You just need to, What did the one gentleman say? He said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief."
Right.
You know, it'd be great if we had a little more faith, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
I mean, even some of you Christians that's been on the road for 60, 70 years. You know, we never reach a place where we can stop. You never plateau in the Christian. If you plateau in the Christian life, you've stopped growing.
Hello.
It's a mountain. You know what the problem is? Most of us, when we pray, we ask God to give us an easy path.
Yeah.
What we ought to be doing is asking God to give us strength for the journey.
That's good.
Whatever the road is, however rough the road might be, whatever mountains we might encounter, whatever rocks might be in the way, God, just give me strength for the journey. I'm not asking you to make it easy. I'm not asking you to take it easy on me, but just give me the strength to make it through to the end. You know how many people start the Boston Marathon compared to how many finish it? Very few. Some people just go to the Boston Marathon and just run the first half a mile just so they can say they ran in the Boston Marathon. Some people finish hours behind what the other, you know, people that really ran dedicatedly to it just so they could say they had finished, they had run completely the Boston Marathon. I just want to be like Paul. And Lord, I finished my course.
Yeah.
I want to finish standing.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't want to lay down somewhere along the line. I don't want to quit on God. I don't want to give up. Sometimes you get up here and you preach your heart out and nothing happens. It's just like God ain't real no more. And God don't speak to hearts no more. And nobody needs any help from God. And nobody needs anything. And sometimes it's hard not to get discouraged. Sometimes it's hard not to get down in the dumps or depressed and say, "God, what's wrong with me?" But you know, the reality is it's not necessarily that there's anything wrong with me, but maybe there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
Maybe there's something wrong with you. Maybe you just need a little more courage.
Yeah.
"What wilt thou have me to do?" the Lord said. "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Lord, maybe you're like the Tin Man in the Wizard of Oz. Just need a little more courage. You see, biblical preaching is not always deeply theological preaching. I'm a simple man. I have to preach simple stuff. Everybody knows about the Tin Man on the Wizard of Oz that didn't have a heart, didn't have a brain. Which was it?
Heart.
Okay. And maybe you need a heart for God. A heart just to be bold. You realize how many people you pass at Walmart when you go that are lost and going to a devil's hell? You need a little more courage. Maybe tonight you need a little more peace in your life. The world's in a mess, ain't it? America's in a mess. I mean, you know, you look around the last couple of weeks and the stock market just went and just breaks some people's heart. They just worry to death about that kind of stuff because they haven't laid up riches where rot moths and rust don't corrode. They haven't laid up what's really important. They've invested their life in monetary things and haven't invested their life in spiritual things. So maybe you just need a little peace tonight. Worry and fret people do over so many different things because they don't have the peace that passes understanding. Maybe you need to ask God for that peace tonight. Just ask God for that peace that passes understanding. Or maybe joy. I can stand here and I look over the congregation. I try to. And I love to see people smile at me. You know, I really do. I don't like these people just sitting back there like this. Like they're sucking on prunes or something. But you know, a little bit of joy in your life.
Yeah.
Joy cometh in the morning. Joy. Now don't mistake joy and happiness. They're two different things, okay?
Right.
Or maybe you just need a little bit more of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, that talks about over in Galatians. You need a little more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control and all of those things. I mean, maybe you could write some of those down if you couldn't think of any on your own.
Yeah.
Maybe you need a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
But look at Mark chapter 10, verse 50. It says, "And he, casting away his garment. Now, the garment of a blind man was the symbol of a blind man. Most blind men in biblical times would wear like a cape or a robe. And when they would sit down to beg, they would take their robe and they would pull it off and they'd spread it out on the ground in front of them. So when they asked alms of people who were passing by, they would just drop them on the robe. And then when the blind man was finished for the day, he would gather his robe up, wad it together to where all the coins would come into the center and where he could gather them up to hopefully get something to eat. And but he, casting his robe aside, you see, I believe that old Bartimaeus already had faith that God was going to do something.
Yeah.
You see, he was already throwing away that old beggar's garment.
Yeah.
Because he knew God was going to do something miraculous in his life.
Good.
He knew God was going to make a change in his life. He wasn't going to be a beggar no more. Brother, I'm not a beggar anymore. I eat at the king's table.
Yeah.
I eat at the king's table every day. He feeds me bread from heaven. Manna for the soul. I drink from living waters.
Yeah.
These two out from under the throne of God.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm no longer a beggar. I'm a child of the King.
Yeah.
Just think about it. If you're here and you don't know Him tonight, I want to introduce you.
Yeah.
He's the best friend I ever had.
Yeah.
You're going to need Him someday.
Yeah.
Maybe sooner than you think. But we're not finished with verse 50. Instead, he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Oh, I wish I could sing. I tell you what, sometimes God just puts so much on my heart.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to sing and sing it for you. I can't do it, so you'll just have to imagine, okay? Just come to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you need some more of these things I've talked about tonight. But what you really need, the whole secret of this whole thing, the whole reason that I've occupied your time for the last 15, 20 minutes, whatever it's been, is you just need to get closer to Jesus. Jesus didn't go to him. Bartimaeus came to Jesus. You just need more Jesus. If you don't have love and joy and peace and hope and comfort and all that stuff, if you don't have whatever it was that you wrote down on your piece of paper tonight, you just need to come closer to Jesus. And He can do far more. You can ask for a drink and God will give you a river. I didn't know I got sanctified. I didn't know one of these days I was going to get glorified. I just wanted to drink. I just wanted to be saved. I didn't know I was going to get someone that was going to stick closer than a brother. I didn't know half of what I was getting when I got Jesus. I got it all, brother. I mean it all. He didn't leave nothing out. I have no fear to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It holds no fear for me. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. Like I said this morning, I guess it was, you know, I ain't never been to heaven, but my name's already there. And I'm glad that I have that assurance. I don't have a hope-so salvation. I have a no-so salvation that you may know. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed against that day. I know. Doesn't say I know about.
Right.
It doesn't say I heard about. It says I know whom I have believed. Do you know Him tonight?
Yeah.
Do you know Him in the forgiveness of sin? Do you know Him in the fellowship of His suffering? Do you die daily? Are you crucified with Christ? Boy, these are tough questions. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Church, if you're going to have revival, it's going to be up to you. I don't want this to just be another series of services.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
I remember being at a church one time. And they had advertised their revival and said, our speaker is going to be so-and-so. Well, it just so happened that I was preaching one of those nights. And I said, you know, you don't need a speaker. You need a preacher.
Yeah.
You can get a speaker down at the Lions Club.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can get a speaker down at the bingo hall. If you're going to have a revival, you need a preacher.
Yeah.
Please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Yeah.
Now, I might be one of the poorest preachers you ever heard. I'm not looking for self-aggrandizement or anything like that. I'm just being dead serious tonight. Paul said, he counted himself chief among sinners. I count myself among the least of preachers. I really do. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I've seen what my God can do. I've seen Him. I've seen Him save the drunk in the church house.
Yes.
I've seen Him save the drug addict. I've seen him do wonderful, miraculous things because He's God.
Amen.
And He can turn your life around if you'll just give Him a chance. Taste and see the Lord is good. Just come and taste and see for yourself what a good God He is and how much... Boy, you ain't never had anybody that can love you like Jesus loves you.
Hey. Amen.
I mean, never, ever. I love my wife. She loves me. At least I hope she does. Sometimes she does. Not sure she does all the time, but most of the time... Well, most... Some of the time, I'm just going to quit, okay? But the love of God never fails. You can read. I'm going to get out left field here, all right? Can I have 30 seconds out left field here? You can read over in Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, and everybody's familiar with that. There's a time to plant, a time to sow, a time to build up, and a time to tear down. And what the writer is talking about there is everything's changing. Everything's fluid. Nothing remains the same. But you get over into the book of Hebrews, and it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's that mean? Well, everything might be changing around you. I mean, the economy might be changing. Our government might be changing. You know, your politics might be changing. Your bank account might be changing. But Jesus Christ is not changing. If He ever loved you, He still loves you. He always will. Do you realize that if you're lost and go to hell, that God's still going to love you?
Yeah.
I mean, He says He died for the sins of the whole world.
Right.
He loved you. That's why He died for you. And just because you reject Him is not going to stop Him from loving you. Just like if you mess up in your Christian life, it's not going to stop God from loving you. Now, He may not be pleased with you, but loving you and being pleased with you is two different things.
Yeah.
He may not be pleased with the life you're living, but He still loves you, and He wants the best for His children. I mean, the Bible talks about if a son comes asking for bread, you won't give him a stone. If you come asking God for whatever it is you need in your life tonight, He's not going to turn you down. He loves you tonight. You say, preacher, I'd really like to get this thing settled. I'd like to know where I'm going to spend eternity. You can know. You can know. Just by calling on the name of the Lord.
Yes,
now, I'm not going to give you some speech that you have to give to get saved. I'm not going to tell you that you have to say this and this and that and that and all of that stuff. We preachers sometimes confuse people. I know people that just got saved by just simply saying, Jesus saved me. But their heart was in it.
Right.
Their heart was in it. It's just like... It's just like giving a testimony. It don't have to be 10 minutes long. You can just stand up and say, I'm glad I'm saved, and sit down. You know? That's what it is. But you can be saved by simply trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
You see, you don't... You, again, You're not saved by understanding. You're saved by faith.
Yeah.
Faith is trusting Jesus to do what He says He will do. And He says that He will save any that come to Him. He will in no wise cast out.
Right.
He's never turned one away. And He never will. I don't care what you've done in your life. It does not matter what you've done in your life.
Right.
It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've seen, what you've done.
Right.
Jesus died for you. He died for you and He wants you to become a part of His family. And He wants it to happen tonight. He doesn't want it to happen tomorrow night or the next night. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. That's why you're here. That's why God brought you here. You didn't come because your wife nagged you or your husband begged you to come or whatever it is. You're here because God wanted you to hear. So you could hear His Word.
Yes, sir.
And so you could have your eternity changed forever. You see, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Heaven or hell, there's only two. And it's up to you to choose.
Yes, sir.
What wilt thou have me do unto thee? It's what He asked Bartimaeus, and that's what He's asking you tonight. What wilt thou? Christians, hey, I want to preach to you just as much as I preach to the lost. I mean, revival's for the Christian, right? It's for the church. It's for the people that proclaim and claim the name of God. What will thou have Jesus do for you? What do you need in your life? He'll fully equip you for the task that lies ahead of you. He will strengthen you for the journey. You know, and he will help you to get to where you need to be. God sometimes just simply needs to open our eyes. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Be specific. Don't be like that woman calling the fire department. And just say, God, I need something. Be specific about what you need in your life. Will you do that? Tell God what you need in your heart, what you need in your spirit, what you need in your life. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, there's a scripture there, and it says this. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's Saul, when God spoke to him there on the road to Damascus. And Saul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, all night I've preached to you, what would you have Jesus do for you? But now I want to change horses just a little bit, and I want to talk to you about what God wants you to do for Him. What God wants you to do for Him. Not what He can do for you. But God wants you to, first of all, specify what you need. But He also wants you to be a worker in His vineyard.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's the second question you need to ask yourself tonight. Lord, would you have me to be a janitor? Would you have me to clean the restrooms? Would you have me to pick up the paper out of the sanctuary? Lord, what would you have me to do? There's a job for you.
Yeah.
There really is.
Yeah.
It may not be in the spotlight. You may never get your name on the marquee or whatever it is. But God's got a job for you. That's why He saved you.
That's right.
Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Ask yourself tonight what God would have. You know, if God speaks to your heart tonight and tells you you need to come and find an altar of prayer, I pray you'll just do that. But you'll just come and have your time of prayer. Just a little talk with Jesus. Just tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him what's on your mind. Tell Him what's troubling you. Tell Him where you're coming up short. Tell Him where your weak places are. Tell Him where you need to be strengthened. Tell Him what temptations you face.
Yeah.
And then let God help you. If you're here and you don't know Him tonight, I'm going to ask you to come too. I'm going to ask you just to come to Jesus. Just come. You don't know what all God will do for you. You have no idea the difference you feel when you're lost and then when you're saved. Just like the song that Jared them sang tonight, you know, didn't realize how saved I was until I knew how lost I was.
Yeah.
I know that's not the way the words goes, but that's what it's talking about. I didn't realize how lost I was until I realized how saved I am. God's good, isn't He?
Yes, He is.
Yes, sir. Yeah, He's good. Tonight, let's bow our heads together. Clark, if you would come. And I looked there in the hymnal, I think, page 293, if that'll be okay. If you've already got something picked out, that's okay too. But just let's take a moment tonight. And tonight, folks, let me tell you, the altar is open. And I'd like to see God move on your hearts tonight. I really would. I'd like to see you take care of whatever it was that you wrote down on your slip of paper. Whatever it is that when you said, God, this is what I need from You in my life. Lord, this is in order for me to have revival, this is what I need. How about it tonight, folks? Will you come? Listen, if you'll be obedient, then the Spirit can be free to touch the hearts of the lost. To encourage them to just step out in faith and just come to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus wasn't going to let Jesus pass him by. And that's what this song's about tonight. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Just cry out to Him. Oh, you don't have to shout. You don't have to get noisy. Just call out to Him in the calmness and the stillness of your heart. And just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And You're the only one that can save me. How about it tonight? I'd love to pray with you. You come tonight. Just take me by the hand or take Preacher Mark by the hand. You know him far better than you know me, probably. Just say, Preacher, I want to be saved tonight. I want to get this thing settled. The old account. We sing a song about the old account was settled long ago. But if you haven't made your peace with God, your account needs to be settled tonight. Will you come this evening? Will you just put aside your fear? Put aside your doubts and just come and just trust Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I need to be saved. How about it this evening? God deals with hearts. I believe God's dealing with hearts right now. I really do. I really believe that God's dealing with hearts in this place this evening. If you just step out of your seat, or if you're just right where you sit, even, if you just raise your hand and say, Preacher, I'd like for Jesus to save me. Will you pray with me? I'd love to lead you in a prayer. You can pray after me. You can pray inwardly. You can pray outwardly. I'm not talking about easy believism. I don't believe in that. But I just know that Jesus made it easy for people to be saved. Because otherwise, I'd have never made it. Somebody tonight, you just like to lift your hand and say, Preacher, I don't have the courage to walk down the aisle, but I'd like to be saved. I'd like to ask Him into my heart tonight. Would you pray with me? Anybody tonight? Anywhere in the congregation, would like to slip your hand in the air just for a moment. Say, Preacher, would you pray for me? Pray with me. All right, let's sing, Mark. 290.